focus mainly on moms, but there's something here for everyone. I promise you that. So would you take your Bibles, please, turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin reading at verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he, that is Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We just ask for that, right? When our prayer, song of prayer today, open the eyes of my heart, and we might see you. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he destroy the firstborn should touch them. And he wanted to say, by faith, Moses did all of these exploits. I want to tell you really all that I have to say today in one sentence, okay? But don't check out on me and go home after that. But the most powerful and influential force on earth today is the faith of godly mothers. And I really believe that with all my heart this morning, and I think you'll see why as we look at the message this morning. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples that you have placed in Scripture, knowing that they are there for our learning. They are to be examples to us. And we pray, Lord, that the life of Jochebed and the life of Moses would be an example for us to follow today, that we might walk in faith and victory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all say that saying that I have up on the screen with me this morning? The most powerful and influential force on earth today is the faith of a godly mother. I want you to get that into your heart today. In Hebrews chapter 11, God lists all of these heroes of faith. And among them, there is a woman by the name of Jochebed. Now, her name is not given there for us. She's simply referred to as the mother of Moses, but her name is Jochebed. And her name literally means Jehovah is glorious. And what a beautiful name it is. And what a wonderful mother and person Jochebed must have been. Now, in the eyes of the world, she was just a hopeless, helpless slave. She's down in Egypt in bondage along with the rest of her people. But her claim to fame is that she raised up a son who shook the world. His name is Moses. And the Bible says that Jochebed did this by faith. Look at it. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a godly child. Now, when God has a big job to do, faith gets the order. God says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Not according to your fame, not according to your feelings, not according to your fortune, not according to your friends, but according to your faith, be it done unto you. And here's a mother today that I want you to try to understand her heart so that you could pray as you leave here today, oh God, above everything else, help me to be a mother of faith. If you're a dad here today, you leave here praying, oh God, help me to be a husband, a father, a man of faith. And if you're a child here today, you would leave here saying, oh God, here is my life. I want to give my life to you. Help me to be a person of faith like Moses was. There's five things that I want us to see in the scripture this morning. And the very first thing is faith's vision. The vision of faith. Now, faith sees a promise in the Word of God, and the Bible is full of promises. Amen? It's also full of promises to mothers. And the Bible says there in verse 23 that Moses' parents saw that he was a proper child, a goodly child. Now, some translate that a fair child, but it means a very fitting child, a special child. And when they looked at Moses, they saw something that was extraordinary. They saw something there that they held in their arms that was above the ordinary. Now, every mother thinks that her child is beautiful and that her child is special. But this goes beyond that. They saw their child through the eyes of faith and through the Word of God. And it has to be that way because faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the Word of God. So somehow, Moses' parents got a word from God, and they saw Moses by faith. God just kind of placed the circumstances together in the crucible of his love and the mystery of his will. And God spoke to their heart, and God said to them, "This child is special. I have a special plan, a special purpose for this child." You know that God had prophesied that the Israelites would be in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. And then God would raise up somebody. God would raise up a leader to lead them out of that slavery into a promised land. And I believe that when Jochebed held this little baby Moses in her arms, the Spirit of God spoke to her the Word of God and said, "This is the one. This is the one that I have chosen to be the deliverer. This is a child that is fit for this specific person, purpose." Now, I want you to know today that every single one of you are special. Mother, every child that you had is special. And every child here today is special. You are a special child because you are the object of God's love. And God has a plan for your life just like he had for Moses' life. And so in that respect, you are all special because God has a unique plan, a unique purpose. He's fitted you for a specific place in his kingdom. And what we have to do when God blesses us with one of these little ones is to look at our children and say, "God, they are beautiful. They are wonderful, and they are a gift from you. This is my reward. This is my blessing." I know that sometimes they can be exasperating. I know that I had 10 of them. I know they can be exasperating, but I tell you, every single one of them is special. Father and his son were having an argument one day, and the son said to the father, "Well, I didn't ask to be born in this family." And the dad said, "If you had, the answer would have been no." Now, sometimes we might feel like that with our children, but really when it comes down to it, we don't, right? We know that each child is special. They are a gift from God, and we are grateful to God for them. And we see the bundle of potential that is wrapped up in their lives. The potential is there. It has to be developed, but it's there. There's an old story of a man who came to a little village. He drove up and found one of the villagers, and he said, "This is a beautiful little village. Are there any great men born here?" And the man said, no great men were born here, just babies. You see, nobody is born a great man, right? It has to be developed. But each child has the potential to be great. And moms, your prayers and your faith have a lot to do with that. Dads, your instruction, your guidance, your teaching, your counseling has a lot to do with that. And so the first thing that I would like to say to your mothers today is to get a vision of faith for your child. Get a promise from the Word of God. Maybe there's something about your child that you've been praying for. Can you find a promise in the God's Word to back up that prayer and cling to that promise and claim that promise for your child? The second thing that I want you to see, not only face vision, but face venture. Because the venture turns the promise into action. And this is so very important. It's not enough for us to say, "I'm going to trust my child to Jesus. I'm just going to pray over my baby and everything will be all right. Everything will turn out right. If you look at verse 23, again, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now, I'm going to tell you a little more of the background of that in a moment, but I want you to look at, actually, the verb tense there is, he was hid. That is, when they had faith, they did something about that faith. They acted upon the faith that they had. True faith, listen carefully to me this morning. True faith has action with it, or it's not faith at all. Pharaoh had said that all the little born babies were to be born and cast into the Nile River, and they were going to drown. Why? Because the Israelites were being repopulated so fast that Pharaoh was concerned that they would rise up and they would overthrow the Egyptian rule, and said, so he had set out this edict throughout all the land that the midwives were to kill these little boys when they were born. And Jochebed and Amram, the father of Moses, they had Moses and they got a word from God. And rather than letting the authorities know that this baby had been born, they hid him. They hid him, and they hid him for 3 months. Now, we're going to say more about that, but the point is this. Because they had faith, they did all that they could do, that they did all that they humanly could do to spare the life of their child. And there are three things that they might have done. Whoops. Somehow I missed that slide. All right, well, here we go. Faith is not fatalism. You know, they could have said, well, whatever will be, will be. We'll just trust God. And God, if you want him spared, you're going to have to spare him. God, if you want him to die, well, you know, we're just trusting your will. Church, that's not faith. That's fatalism. That's the same thing as saying, well, I'm sick. If God wants to heal me, he can heal me, but I'm not going to seek healing, or I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to do anything about this. I'm just going to leave it up into your hands, and whatever will be, will be. Jesus said, those who are well don't need a doctor, but those who are sick do. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. Give Dr. Jesus first chance to heal you, but there's nothing wrong with seeking healing through the means that God has it for us. You say, well, I'm just going to trust God to feed me. Well, fine. You can pray every day, give us this day our daily bread. But the Bible also says if a man won't work, neither should he eat. You see, what I'm saying is there's works that go along with faith. Works complete our faith. And if you just say, I'm going to trust my child to Jesus, I'm going to give my child to God, that's fine. But you still have the responsibility to teach that child, to train that child, to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. You have to put faith into action, or it's not faith at all. James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 says, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Then James said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If we want to raise godly children for the Lord, then we have to get down to work. Fatalism is not the answer. Infanticism is not the answer. I'll tell you what else they might have done. They might have said, well, let's just see how much we trust God. Let's take baby Moses and let's throw him into the Nile and see if the crocodiles get him. Let's just see if he drowns. There he goes. Lord, it's up to you to take care of him now. That's not faith either. It's like people who pick up snakes and handle snakes to show how much faith they have. That's not faith either. That is really tempting God. I'll tell you what it is. Faith is that which works. Faith is work. And if you want your child to be mighty for God, we have to get down to work. Moses' mother and father, they did something about Moses. Let me give you a verse. You've all heard it. You know it. You probably got it memorized. Every parent does. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you were to look up that word training in the dictionary, you would find it to be described something like this. Training is to prepare for a contest, to instruct by exercise, to drill, to form to a proper shape, to discipline for use. Now that's what God wants us to do with our children. We have to train them. Yeah, we teach them, but it goes far beyond that. It goes into the area of training. It's work, isn't it? You parents know that it's work to raise godly children. And to have faith, real faith, is to believe, but put legs on that belief. To not only have faith, but to have works that go along with it. And there's a difference between teaching and training. You can teach your children what is right, but if you neglect to train your children, somebody else will come along and teach them something else. And they are tempted to believe then what somebody else might teach them. But you train them up in the way that they should go. It becomes a way of life to them. We can't possibly teach our children how to handle every issue that's going to come up in life. You just can't do that. But you train them in the way that they should go. You train them in righteousness. You train them in the ways of God. And then when they come up against these things that they have not been directly taught, they still know what the right principle and the right action is. A child who is taught the way he should go can hear other teachings and depart, and that's what happens a lot of times. I'm saddened by the number of Christian young people that leave our churches and they go off to college, and their faith is totally destroyed. Totally destroyed. And because somebody is teaching them something different than what we have taught them, perhaps, this is just an idea. Perhaps we haven't trained them properly. Perhaps we are just teaching them rather than training them. You understand the difference? We've had them in Sunday school. We've had them in our home, but they've kind of gone off. I know young people that have gone off to universities and totally rebelled against everything that their parents have stood for and the church had taught them. But what we need to do is get them to understand that these are not things that they just need to have in their head. These are training lessons that need to be in their heart, and Christianity becomes a part of life. Train them up in the way they should go. Heard about a little kid who was on a tricycle. He's just riding round and round the block. A man stopped him and said, "Son, where are you going in such a hurry?" He said, the little boy said, "I'm running away from home." But he's just going around and around the block where his house was, and the man said, "But son, you're just going around in circles." He said, "I know, but my mama won't let me cross the street." You see, even in his rebellion, there was a restraining nature that had been put there by his mother. And that's why the Word of God says, "The generation of the upright shall be blessed." All right? The third thing that we got is face valor. Face valor. If you look at again at verse 23, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now the king said, these little babies are going to be killed. But they were not afraid of these words. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know what? That's a wonderful thing. I have people today say to me, "Pastor, these are fearful days. These are wicked days, awful days in which we live. Do you really think we ought to be having children in these days?" You know what my answer to them is? Yes. Yes. If anybody ought to be having children, it should be godly people. It should be Christian moms and dads. My grandmother told me when we first got married, "Don't bring children into this wicked world." I'm glad that we didn't listen to her. All my children should say amen to that. "But Pastor, these are such desperate days in which we live." Let me ask you this. Are these days any more desperate than the days in which Moses was born? They were slaves down in Egypt. Pharaoh said, "All the little baby boys are going to be killed." They were seemingly helpless slaves. These were dangerous times in the day that Moses was born. Let me talk to you for just a little bit about these days, if you don't mind. Well, if you do, I'm going to talk to you anyway. So I guess it won't matter. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word perilous is used only one other time in Scripture, and it had to do with demon possession. These are demon-possessed days, the last days, exceedingly fierce days. And I'm here to tell you today that if I didn't know the Lord, if I didn't know the Scriptures, I'd be a first-class pessimist. I really would. But it breaks my heart today to see so many children being brought to liberal churches. A church that is empty of faith, futile in purpose, is dangerous to be around. It would be far better for a child not to go to church at all than to go to a church that is a Bible-doubting, Christ-denying, so-called Christian church. If a pastor does not believe in the Word of God, if he does not believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, if he does not believe in the blood atonement, if he does not believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, children should not be in that kind of church. It's dangerous. Not only do we have liberal churches, we have humanism in the schools where evolution, which is really atheism, is taught. You say, well, evolution isn't religious. So you can teach that, but you can't teach Christianity because that's a religion. You know what? Evolution is a religion. Man becomes God. Man becomes his own God. And I thank God for the Christian school teachers who are in the public school system, and they're fighting a battle. And many of them are good people. But really, evolution is just atheism. And it's camouflaged to protect the guilty. And so evolution is taught why creationism can't be taught. And we could spend a lot of time on that, but I don't need to today. But then we look at society. And I'm talking about these dangerous days in which we live. Our society is pleasure mad. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And then we look at what's on television today. To me, the most dangerous thing is these situational comedies. I don't know if you've ever watched one. If you haven't, good for you. But I tell you, there are all kinds of sexual perversion and things that go on in these situational comedies. And you know why? You know why the devil wants you to laugh at these things? Because what you laugh at, you cannot take seriously again. And he is having a heyday. And our children watch these things. Our children, even those cartoons that they have on nowadays, parents, they are not the cartoons that you and I grew up with. They're not the same thing at all. And then when I look around and I see the dangerous grounds Islam is making in our world and even in our country, I have to say that these are demon-possessed days. These are fierce days in which we live. It's frightening for our kids out there. It's dangerous. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I want you to understand this morning. Moses' parents looked past the king of Egypt to the King of Kings. They looked past the things of Egypt into what the Bible said, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. These were perilous days. These were dangerous days in which Moses lived, but these are perilous times in which we live as well. But thank God for mothers and fathers of faith. And let's look past all that is happening, and let's look past to Jesus sitting on his throne. And let's stop listening to all the things that the news media would try to scare us with. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about those or know about them, but I'm listening for a trumpet call. I'm listening for the trump of the archangel and the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. I told the church the other day that really I've almost stopped looking for signs. I'm listening for a shout. Amen. Because I believe that the days of Jesus, his coming, are that close. And parents, we have work to do. Which leads me to point number 4, face victory. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Well, who was Pharaoh's daughter? And what happened? You remember the story. Moses is taken, hidden in those bulrushes. They had made a little ark for him to lay in. After 3 months, they had done this because they couldn't hide him any longer. They did the next best thing. They took those reeds that grew by the Nile River, and they made a little ark, and they put mud, they put pitch on it inside and out to make it waterproof. And Jochebed kissed that little baby and said, God, this is all I can do. I have faith. I've acted on my faith. But God, there's nothing else that I can do. And I placed this ark here in the river among the bulrushes. And God, I'm trusting you to save our child. I believe that I had a word from you that this child is special, that you have a plan for this child's life. So I'm placing this child in your care. And then here's Miriam, Moses' big sister, standing off to the side, watching to see what would happen. And it's a wonderful story, because about that time, Pharaoh's daughter is stopped with her entourage and says, I think I'd like to go down to the Nile River to bathe. Now, church, they have excavated the palaces of Egypt, the most lavish baths you'd ever seen. We're in the palaces of Egypt. Why would a princess be bathing in a dirty, stinking river? You know why? God led her there. The providence of God led her there. Maybe she got to thinking, you know, there's a hole that water hole I used to play in when I was a little girl. I don't know. Maybe an angel took a safety pin and kind of poked her with it. Or maybe an angel took a safety pin and poked baby Moses so that he cried out. Because her heart went out when she heard the cries of this baby. And she picks him up, and immediately there's this bonding that takes place. God is orchestrating this all. God performed a miracle to have this bonding take place. And then Moses' sister, Miriam, says, if you want to keep that baby, I know somebody who'd be glad to nurse it for you. I know a mother who's just ready and willing to nurse a baby. And Pharaoh's daughter says, well, you can go find her. Can you imagine the daughter of the king of Egypt taking a suggestion from a slave girl? But she did. And she'd go get this woman. And so when Jochebed comes to Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter says, if I paid you, would you take care of this baby for me? Jochebed, I'm sure she's thought, you don't have to pay me, but if you want to pay me for taking care of my child, that'll be great. And so she takes this baby that she'd already been caring for 3 months, and she begins to sing songs to that child. And she begins to put in the heart of the child the love for the God of Israel. And she places within that child a value system that child would never forget. God gave a great victory. God is so wonderful. And that's the reason we don't have to be afraid of the devil and his crowd. God took a little ark and made a battleship out of it to sink Pharaoh's entire army. Isn't God wonderful? By faith, though, by faith. She was a woman of faith. She was a mother of faith. And that's why she's listed here. She's in God's hall of fame, God's hall of faith. By faith, she did this. Moms, I just want to encourage you today to trust God, to believe in God, to be a mother of faith. Day after day after day after day, line upon line, precept upon precept, you put it into the heart of your child. The love of God, the love of Christ who came and died and gave his life for that child. You put it in that child's heart and into that child's mind that God, oh, there's something special about you, son. There's something special about you, daughter. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He has made you. He has fit you just perfectly into the plan that he has laid out for you. Teaching and training that little child. And then here's the last thing. Face values. These values endure when the parents have departed. Now notice in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now that would have made him the grandson of Pharaoh. Many suggest that he was next in line for the kingdom. The Bible says that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now pay attention, because this is the climax of the whole thing. There's a great battle going on today over values, is there not? Moses had an incredible value system. He could have been Pharaoh. He could have been king of all Egypt, little baby Moses. When he came to years, standing in line to be Pharaoh, the Bible says he refused it. He refused power, possessions, and position. Why? Because he chose. It was his choice to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why did he do that? Because he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. That's an incredible thing. The reproach of Christ was a greater treasure than anything Egypt had to offer. Church, if we could get our children to see that even the reproaches of Christ are greater riches than anything this world has to offer, then we've placed in them the right value system. What did Moses do? First of all, he did some esteeming. I don't know why those aren't showing up. He did some esteeming. He said, over here's the treasures of Egypt. Over here's the glories of Jesus. He saw this, and he saw this. He said, if I go this way, I'll have more power, I'll have more possessions, I'll have more prestige. But if I go this way, I'll have Jesus. And he made a quick estimation, and he said, I'm going to take Jesus. These treasures far outweigh all of these other treasures. Now, parents, it's foolish to try to get your children to make a decision unless they have something to decide. See, you have to show them the riches of Jesus. You know, we do often, we say, don't go the way of the world. Don't go the way of the world. Don't drink, don't do this, don't do that. We never show them the riches of the Christian life. We never show them grace. We never show them God's riches at Christ's expense. We never show them those things. And because they don't really have a choice, they make the wrong choice. And then he chose. He said, I'll go this way. But in order to go this way, he had to leave that way. And so he refused in order to choose. Now there's an esteeming, then a choosing, and then a refusing. So Moses had gone to the University of Egypt. And the Bible tells us in Acts 7 that he was learned, he was skilled in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. But here's the thing that really encourages me today. Moses' mother put something in Moses' heart that all the university professors of Egypt could not take out. She had put something in there that they could not take away because she had trained him as a mother of faith. And so when the choice came, he refused the treasures of Egypt and chose God. We have to show our children the riches that we have in Jesus. But kids, children, adult children, even if your parents have put the right value system in you, you still have a choice to make. You still have to choose for yourself. Parents would love to choose for you. But we can't do that. All we can do is train you and put our values, the values of God into you. But you still have to make those choices for yourself. And you need to do some esteeming. And you need to decide which is more important. It was like when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and the people. He said, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Really? If God is God, serve him. If Baal is Baal, serve him. But don't sit on the fence. Make a choice. Go one way. Go one way or the other. Moses was great. Moses was great because he had a godly mother, a mother of faith, that prayed for him, that put values into him. He had a father that obviously loved him and taught him as well. But Moses was great because by faith, he made the right choices in life. And he chose the reproaches of Christ to be greater riches than all Egypt had to offer him. What we have to do is we have to see the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. Moses said, I don't want Egypt. I'm going God's way. And his values that his parents had for him lasted when they were not around, lasted longer than their lives themselves. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please? And moms, I just want to encourage you today to never give up. To never give up. You say, it's too late for me. No, it's not too late. And I pray that the values that you put in your children, if they are running from God today, they'll come back to those. And you say, well, I wasn't a Christian parent when my children were small. You can still be a mother of faith and pray for those children and ask God and believe God that he will still let you be an influence in their life. And I believe that he will do that. So by faith today, by faith, claim your children for God. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands today because I know that every hand would go up by every mother that you want all of your children serving God. I know that. And God wants that as well. So pray for your children and ask God to let you be the kind of influence in their life that they need. If you're here today and you're a young child or you are a grown child, what is the choice that you have made? Have you chosen for Jesus, or have you chosen against him and for the world? Let me tell you, the only place where you're going to find true joy and happiness is on Christ's side, choosing him rather than the world. If you're here today and you've not clearly made that choice before, would you make it today? And would you tell God, God, I choose you. I choose you. I'm doing some esteeming today. And I choose to follow you. I choose even to follow the reproach that comes with choosing you. Because what you have to offer is greater than anything this world could offer. And if you don't believe me this morning, put God to the test. And he will prove that that is true, that that is the way to go. Heavenly Father, thank you today for all the moms that are here. Thank you for these mothers of faith and the influence that they have had upon our lives. Lord, I pray for every mom here and the prayer of every one of their hearts, Lord, that every one of those prayers for their children would be answered. And Lord, those that have faithfully trained up children, Lord, that they would not depart from the way. And if they have seemingly departed, that those values that were placed in them, Lord, they would rise to the top. And those values would win out. Lord, these are desperate times in which we live. And we need our nation to return to godliness and holiness. But Lord, before that can happen, we need our churches and we need our homes to return to godliness and holiness. And so I pray, Lord, for our church, and I pray for each family that is a part of this, that makes up this church. Lord, that each family would be godly and holy. Give us moms of faith and vision. Give us dads who say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.